Your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live from planet Earth's real Gotham City. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. And I know you hear that little mic sound in the background. I know my guest Maria is new to Skype, so I know she's just moving around, but it's okay. We're live and we're direct from Gotham City, and we have a great guest lined up for you listeners tonight. We got a chat room. People are up in the chat room. The moon is in Cancer. It's about to transfer to Leo. It's in my emotional Cancer sign tonight, and we got psychic. World-renowned psychic Maria D'Andrea. And if you want to look her up while I give you a little intro about her before I introduce you to her, she's at mariadeandrea.com. That's mariadeandrea.com. And like always, we are at themysticalspiral.com. And my name is Ra. And I have a new YouTube discussion as well called Exploring the Ka with your host, Ra Castaldo. Now, my guest tonight, she is an internationally known professional psychic from Budapest, Hungary. Since her early childhood, she has demonstrated high spiritual awareness and psychic abilities. Over her lifetime as a spiritual leader, she has provided excellent psychic guidance and enlightenment to so many people. Many occultists come to her for many different readings, psychometry, rune casting. The list goes on and on, my friends. So she also has so many books, I can't even count. Her talents include clairvoyance, business consulting, European shamanism, meditation techniques. It goes on and on. Like I said, rune casting. She has many books like Psychic Vibrations of Crystals, Gems, and Stones. She's got Maria D'Andrea's Instant Money Empowerment, Helping Yourself with Magical Oils A to Z. She has a lot of how-to books because not only is she an experiencer and a well-renowned world-renowned psychic, but she is also a gifted reader, a gifted author. And she has so many abilities. It's just a pleasure to have her here. And I want to welcome to Spiral Radio, the Mystical Spiral, TMS. It's Maria D'Andrea. Welcome, Maria.
Hi, how are you? And thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. It's my honor. And I mean, you're just, you're like a breath of fresh air. I like that you, not only do you have like amazing stories about your life, but it's like you like to teach people how to do things themselves and to make like a true magical person. You like to help them make something from nothing. And I love that about you. You love to help have people create for themselves.
Well, I always look at it as the more people can do for themselves, the more power they have over their own lives. It's giving them empowerment. And I'm always saying the better they do, the better people around them do, the more people they can help. So yeah, and I like to give people their own control.
Yeah, and I want to let everybody know out there that you can look her up at mariadeandrea.com if you're just joining us. And not only is she an author, but she also does psychic classes. She does readings. She's willing to travel to do lectures and conferences wherever you would want. So please get in touch with her, everybody. I want to spread her love everywhere because she is her aura is just a warming glow of goodness. And she has so much love and knowledge to spread to you all. And if you're anywhere on the East Coast, please contact her and look her up on her website. Now, Maria, you know, because our hour is going to fly by, I want to do a few things with you tonight. And I wanted to know, like, at first, like, what age did you notice that, you know, you were not like everyone? And did you have a contact with a spirit at a young age that showed you? Or was your family a shamanistic family, and they basically showed you the way?
Well, actually, it's really funny. I truly believe that everybody is basically psychic intuitive. Whether they use it or not, that's free will, and it's not meant to be everybody's path. But I always look at it as some people are artists, but everybody can draw. Well, actually, except me, I can barely do stick figures. But the base is there.
Yeah. Right? Yep, I got you. You got the imagery in your head, yeah.
So actually, with my father, he was always psychic. And then on my mother's side, both my grandparents were trance mediums, and my grandfather also did automatic writing. And wow. Then both my sons, who are very analytical, and they're basically businessmen, and my other son's an engineer, and the other one's a business person, you know, and they both read.
Both your parents' sides from Hungary?
Yes. Actually, I'm originally from Budapest, and I came over during the revolution. And wow. It was really funny because when I came over, we came over with a group that my mother was with when we escaped from Hungary, and it was a pretty big group. And my mother told me, because I don't remember, I was 6 at the time, and my mother told me that they were trying to decide if they should go forward and escape or if they should go back because it was horrendous. And she said that I told them that God told me that they need to move forward and they would all be safe. So the group split up into two. Half of them went back. And my mother said later they found out that everybody that went back was killed. And and she said her and part of the group listened to me and went forward. Now, the funny part of that was when she told me about that, my thought, I remembered it vaguely, but not too much. And my first thought was, what's wrong with these people listening to a 6-year-old?
Yeah, that was the first thing you think of, huh?
That was the first thing I thought of. And my mother said, well, the way I said it, you would not be able to speak like that at 6. But she didn't remember the exact words. But all I kept thinking was, what was wrong with these people?
Yeah, but growing up gradually during those times, I mean, that stuff has to be imprinted on your DNA and your ancestral memory now. I mean, that's rough things to grow up around.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's funny, the people in my family, you know, down the line, they're more, you know, they're professors and they're teachers and they're in the ministry. And I'm also an interfaith minister and I teach that. And, you know, we have a lot of ministry and people along that line and people in the professions like lawyers, but most of them still read. Or they were artists, or so they were analytical and creative. So
did you do automatic writing as well?
Yes, I still do that. In fact, I don't normally mention this, but when I write the books, a lot of them are either ancient formulas.
Wow.
Because they're all how-to books. So they're either very ancient, some of them are mine that I developed through the years, and some of it really is automatic writing, but I just don't normally go into that with the public because everybody doesn't understand that part.
So yeah, and plus you got to be careful. You got to be careful what information you give to people and what they do with the special gifts that you have. You can't always give, you know, because if you put certain things in the wrong people's hands, you know, it's almost like a weapon. And
exactly.
And yeah, and I mean, have you ever saved someone's life from a message you got through automatic writing?
Well, besides the people coming through hungry. And yes,
besides a whole country.
Right. No, well, besides those people. But really, a lot of times something has come up where, as an example, so I had a client where he was going to travel. And a lot of times I have business. A lot of my clients are businessmen and businesswomen. And what they will do is when they're going to go travel, like on the plane, because, you know, I speak internationally. And before they go on a plane, they'll call me up for sending protection on the plane for them. It doesn't mean the plane is safe. It means they are safe. Okay. So one of the gentlemen I've been dealing with for business flights and things along that line since the mid-80s, right? So now when he calls up, because he'll call from a board meeting, and what he'll do is he'll call me up and he'll go, listen, send George. He named it George. So I'm like, well, I don't know what the spirit's name really is that I sent, because it's not the same one for everybody. But he now named the one protecting him on travel George. So,
wow. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, one of my sons was in the Navy years ago, and he was going on a flight to Italy. He came home to visit. He was going on a flight to Italy to go back to the ship, and I was online waiting with him, you know, as far as you can go before they tell you can't go past this line.
Yeah.
And I was waiting with him. And it was funny because one of my clients was on the line with her family. So they were laughing about it because at least they knew somebody going on the flight. And they both called me after the flight and they said that there was a 3-hour delay of the flight once they boarded because they found something wrong with the flight. So because, you know, I sent protection and my son does his own. But I sent protection, and they found the problem before the plane lifted off so they could fix it. It took 3 hours, but if they would have found it when it was in the air, they couldn't have fixed anything else.
Yeah.
So the lady and
so
my
you helped
son,
out. Yeah.
Right. They kept looking at each other going, no, take as long as you want.
Yeah. When it has to do with a plane, take as long, when you take as long as you want, buddy. Don't rush it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
They were the only people on there where they weren't going, oh, hurry up. They were like, no, we're fine. So you never know how it's going to work.
Yeah. Now, what age did you I'm really interested in hearing about your astral travels because what age did it first become aware that you were astral traveling? Because I believe, you know, every night that we go to sleep, whether people want to believe it or not, we're traveling realms. We're astral traveling. And we pick up astral debris. We pick up lower astral entities. We pick up a whole bunch of garbage sometimes if we're not aware of what we're doing. And I feel from a very young age that that's what we do when we shut off. That's our alpha. That's our internal. And that's our reality based, you know, like almost like an aboriginal type, you know, you know, dreams, you know, that we can almost manifest that in reality when we become aware that we are astral traveling at night and bring it into where you are conscious that you're astral traveling is a true blessing when you can do that. What age did you start becoming aware of astral traveling?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I wanted to agree with you because I truly believe, as you do, that everybody does that in their dream state. I feel it's our natural state because we're really spirit living in a physical body, not the other way around.
100%.
So You know, so I really feel that some people are more aware than others, and it isn't a good or bad situation. It's everybody's in the right place for themselves, on their right path. And I find I actually realized in my teens, and it doesn't mean I wasn't doing it before. I just kind of went, oh, so this is what happened again. I realized it was a little different in my teens, and I didn't realize that it actually had a name. It was like, later on, I realized it was called Ad Travel, and I went, oh, my God, they named it. But I find I had some of the experiences were a little bit strange at the time. And I actually, my first experience, I think I might have mentioned it to you one. My first experience was I went out of body, and it was actually by accident because, you know, I work with readings all the time, and I've done this all my life. It's not that I got older and started doing readings. So I was working heavily with readings, and I was working very heavily with, you know, magic, with manifesting and the paranormal, whatever they want to label it at different times in society. And all of a sudden, I just went out of body. And I remember that I was out of body, and it felt like I was in a room. And it had walls, and it felt kind of like you're standing still. You just don't see the walls and the floor. And
then or yourself.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then so then I saw a procession of, it looked like monks. I didn't know what they were. And they were in a cloak with a hood. That's why I was thinking monks originally. And it was a procession, and they were walking from right to left, in midair, but, you know, at that time, you're not thinking midair. You're just thinking, oh, where are they going? Yes. So I remember thinking I wanted to get closer to get a look to see what they looked like under the hood. And when I got a little bit closer, I felt a warning not to do that. Now, being who I am, I went, no, I want to get closer.
Yeah. You're gangster. So
Right, so tried to get a little closer, and I got the warning again. But again, being who I am, I went, I just have to see. So I got a little bit closer. And, you know, somewhere in your mind, it should say, let's see, it's a warning. Maybe there's a reason for it.
It's a defense mechanism, too. It probably snaps you right back out of it.
Exactly. Well, what happened was, all of a sudden, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know who I was. And it got a little scary, and I'm thinking, well, okay, I don't know who I am, but if I look down and I see my body, I will remember who I am. So I looked down, and there was nothing there. I didn't know what gender I was, who I was. It snapped me right out of it.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing, Maria, because we had just talked maybe like an hour before you know, our show right now. And we were just talking about that. That was the first time, you know, we talked about that experience you just had. And it my jaw dropped when I first looked into it, because I looked into you right beforehand, and I felt that experience you had because I know it well. And those beings were the Grigori. And I'm 100% positive, because what the Grigori are is they're not just for Strega. You know, Grigori are the watchers, the eyes of the night, which means they watch over all magical practices and all people who are psychic and all people who are involved with traveling through realms. And they are, you know, magical beings that the most ancient race on Earth, they are from before Earth, at the beginning of time. You know, they have been around since then, and they watch over all beings that are like you, that if you're doing a lot of magic, they're there watching over you, you know, making sure that you're living true love or true darkness. You know, if you're living true darkness, they will take you out. They will make sure that you either conform to the darkness and become, you know, or you conform polarized to the light, because it could be a truly nightmare experience if you're going to the darkness, because your will is given up to these beings, and it becomes almost like a draconian magic, almost like a serpent magic. Right. Then, but if you become towards the light, it's a beautiful, protective, healing, shamanistic experience. But it could be polarized either way, you know.
Yeah, I remember. I'm a shaman through Hungary, through Europe, and I'm actually connected to the Tuscarora tribe. But it's really funny because I was talking to the Chief Wiesel, the chief of the Tuscarora tribe, although very wonderful gentleman, he passed away years ago, and we were talking about how some of us always knew about karma. We always knew we have to do the positive thing because it comes back. We just didn't know it had a name.
Yeah.
Because when you're little, you know, it can go either way, really. It depends on who you're hanging out with and around people. And I remember thinking that it was you have to do the right thing and the ethical thing and the positive spiritual thing according to whatever your personal belief system is. Because I look at it as there's one source. And my father used to say this. He always said, there's one source. It doesn't matter what path you take as long as it's towards that source.
Yep, it's like the universal consciousness, yeah.
Yeah. So I think some of us just come in with different abilities. That's like, you know, you have some people that are phenomenal artists and musicians and businessmen, and everybody's on the right path for themselves. But I find that I like teaching and I like writing the books because I find the more you can do for yourself, I think the better the world gets because you want to be under your own control.
Yeah. Now, we're going to, when we come back from break, because we got like 10 minutes to break. When we come back from break, everybody, we're going to play a little thing I came up with called Second Sight 7, where for a few minutes, maybe like 7 minutes in a row, I rattle off questions about the occult and the paranormal. And you got to, and Maria's got to answer me with the first thing that comes to her mind. She can't really think about it. She's got to give her extrasensory perception, you know, her special insight, her intuitive insight into certain things. I'll just throw certain things at you, you know, and see what first comes to your mind. I think it'll be fun. We'll do it when we come back from break. But I'd like to hear more. Yeah, I'd like to hear more about I mean, that's amazing that you had an experience with the Grigori, because that's profound.
Well, it's really profound. What they were called, because all these years I knew what I was seeing, and every time I looked at a book or I heard information about who they were, none of that resonated. It didn't feel right. And when you said that, I went, oh my God, after all these years.
You know who should look at? The author Raven Grimassi. He's a hereditary strega, and he writes about the Grigori. They're also mentioned in you know, some versions of the Book of Enoch, but I think they're confused with the Watchers, like Semyaza. I think they confused them at one point, because to me, the Watchers in the Book of Enoch are the seeds of the serpent, almost like the Anunnaki, you know?
Oh, definitely. I think at some point, though, when you read different books, they kind of overlapped and confused the two.
Yep, even like in Charles Leyland's book in the late 1800s, he talked about the Grigori. And there's a lot of authors that do talk about it, but it's not well known. And I'm definitely been a Grigori contactee since I'm young. My first experience was, you know, a near death experience when I was younger. But I'm interested before we go to break. We have like 7 minutes till break. I'm interested what your take is, and since you're a good you're really intuitive and you got strong psychic sense. I want to know what your intuitive thoughts are about this whole timeline changing and CERN and the Mandela effect and the realities and dimensions. That's I feel like there's a dimensional wave that's been coming on us and a dimensional shift. Is this how you've been feeling as well?
Well, definitely. I've been feeling that shift. And in fact, I have a lot of books out, but I have a couple out where I named it the Yes You Can series, because I feel everybody can. And one of the books is called Travel the Waves of Time, Contacting, you know, Beneficial Beings. Because I really feel that there are waves we can ride. And the more people can do for themselves and to tune into that wave, they're going to be more positive. Their life kind of falls into place. And I think when we're aware of a lot of this, and it's really more astral travel, when we're aware of this, I think our level of outlook changes with the everyday situations in our lives. Okay. So as an example, I find any time that, say, I have to branch into something else, psychically, spiritually, business-wise, something always folds that I'm in the process of doing and I've been doing for a while. And all of a sudden, that job or that area that I'm working on spiritually, all of a sudden, it just starts to fold. Now, I find if I say that to somebody else, they go, oh, my God, what are you doing? How are you going to do things? And, you know, I kind of look at it as it's folding because something new is going to come in to replace it. And I get excited about it. It doesn't mean I'm not a little stressed in the meantime because we're human. But I get excited. I'm like, okay, if something's folding, something better is coming in. And it always works like that. Every single time, because I do this full time. And logically, when I talk to students and different people, they can't understand how I can even make a bill because I don't have anything definite like a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
But I really believe the universe takes care of us. It's a matter of knowing that it's going to take care of us.
But do you think like CERN and with the Large Hadron Collider, and do you think that some sort of artificial intelligence is starting to try to blend our reality and change our timeline somehow?
I think so, because when you look at some of the situations going on, as an example, I was talking to one of the chiefs of one of the tribes out here on Long Island, and he was saying to me that they're doing a lot of protection now more frequently than the norm with the tribes, because basically they said, they can feel the shift,
yeah. You know,
and they feel that if they're protected, because even when I teach classes, the first thing I teach is psychic self-defense. We need to be safe from all negative energy. And he says they're doing more work on protecting the tribes because they want to make sure that none of that from the outside can control us. But they also feel that they have positive entities out there that are looking out for us. So they're energies, they're putting it out that they don't get into war, not with us, but with each other.
Yeah,
they do. We do have protectors out there.
Okay. I believe that. And in Strega, we call them the Lhasa, L-A-S-A, yeah. The Lhasa. Yeah.
You know, so I really feel that's definitely going on. And I feel sometimes it's not as much a battle over the earth, the physical plane, as much as it's a battle over more our spirits and who we are. Don't you feel that?
I'm 100% with you. I think, yeah, it's our battle over our consciousness and our spiritual evolution. You know, I think our spiritual evolution has been halted, and, you know, there's been a veil put over our consciousness, and we're fighting to remember who we are, you know, and we're here to spiritually evolve. And somewhere along the line, we got tricked by some tricksters and we got caught in this material loop, and we need to start with our spiritual evolution again, or, you know, and we got to live in harmony with the universe and the earth, or where it'll be our demise.
Oh, I really think so. I think a lot of people forgot that we're literally spirit first, not our physical bodies first.
Yes. Yep.
That's, now, obviously, yep. It's not, especially being female, it's not that we don't want to look nice.
No, I hear you.
You know, but basically, we need to look at the spiritual levels and look at where are we spiritually and how to get into a higher vibration. Because the higher our vibration gets, the more in sync we are with the vibration of the planet. Because the planet is 100,000 vibrations per second. We're about 80, 90. So I find when we're healing, as an example, anybody that's in a healing mode, okay, their energy raises to the same vibration as the planet while they're doing healing. And then afterwards, it goes back to whatever their norm is. So I think we're trying to raise our vibrations to meet higher levels.
And do you have any advice for somebody who's trying hard? Because I have a couple of emails from a couple of people that say that they've been trying hard astrally every night to go astral. And they even bought pyramids from my friend Masaki, who's at Akeda.com. He has Organite pyramids. And they've even bought pyramids, and they're trying to go astral. But they seem to just fall asleep every night. They seem to fall asleep every night. And then they wake up in the morning, and they're like, oh, man. I think that they're maybe astral traveling while they're sleeping, but they don't consciously astral travel. Do you have any recommendations for anyone?
Well, first of all, the first thing I always recommend when you're doing anything with the other realms is to make sure you do some form of psychic self-defense It doesn't have to be my form. It could be prayer. It could be anything that works for the person. Because when you're going out of body, you want to make sure you're always safe. By the way, that doesn't mean we don't see negative. It means negative cannot affect us. We still need to know what's going on. But what I would suggest is, first of all, don't do it laying down before you go to sleep, because you're going to go into sleep. It's your natural state when you're going out of body. So my suggestion is do it sometime where you're more awake, like in the middle of the day, at some point where you're not going into sleep next. Yes. I also suggest that they shut everything off that makes sound. You know, the
Wait,
phone.
Hold that thought, Marie, because we have to go to break real quick. It's 38:30. But we'll come right back into that, and then we'll play our Second Sight 7. I'm sorry to cut you off, but the song coming up is a song that I wrote. It's called Dancing the Goddess Home, and I wrote it about 10 years ago. I was younger in my early 20s, I think, over 10 years ago. I think it was like 2004, something like that. Enjoy and spiral out.
I love the name.
Listening to Para X.
And we're back. My name is Ra, and we're with the lovely, wonderful, beautiful Maria DeAndrea, and she's at MariaDeAndrea.com, and you can always find me at TheMysticalSpiral.com, and that last song you heard was called Dancing the Goddess Home by my band Nocturnal Awareness. And that was a couple of years out of high school.
And I love the title.
Yes, yes. It's an old incantation name.
I love it. Actually, you know, yeah. I start at this point, because I do so many things, I just tell people, put my name into Google. Because, you know, it's, you can't really fit in everything you do anyway. In fact, most of my books are on, like, Amazon, Kindle, Nook. I have a TV show where I teach. I don't do readings on the air. I teach. So if somebody wanted to go on YouTube and put my name in, I actually teach free classes besides the ones I normally teach. Cool. But to answer your question about the out-of-body, my suggestion is this. Instead of just immediately trying to, you know, get out of the body, okay, I find an easier method when you first start is expansion, because our spirit bodies don't have any limit. Okay, that our spirit isn't limited by walls and, you know, floors and metal and brick. So if you're relaxed and you have everything shut off so it doesn't jar you when, you know, the phone rings, if you just focus on, first of all, relaxing, because sometimes the mistake people make is they're so focused on going out of body.
It's the opposite.
It's the exact opposite, because when we're talking like now, we're on mentally, our brainwave is on beta. When we're working intuitively, psychically, going out of body, it's tested scientifically as alpha theta. So they have to relax first. And then what I would suggest is focusing on their spirit body, moving out slowly to, say, the right side of the room to touch the wall, and then back in, and do that a couple of times, go to the left, up to the wall, and eventually you're going to be able to go through the wall, and you can go up, you can go down. But if you expand to the side, as an example, to start and pull back, you get the feeling of the movement first.
And moving, let's to the get right side to second sight seven. I want to really do this. This is going to be great. Now, everybody, what second sight seven is, this is when I have a psychic on. I rattle off questions for about 7 minutes straight, and she uses her psychic, sensory, intuitive abilities to just instantly answer the question without thinking about it. She's just going to say her immediate first thought about what the question is and give her psychic sense about it. So I want Maria, if you got it relaxed and just clear your mind and get ready for some – it's fun, all right? It's going to be fun.
Yep.
So if anybody has questions too in the chat room that they want to shoot towards me, I can ask. So here we go. This is called Second Sight 7. Now, Maria, do you think the Fatima sighting was a holographic technology like Project Bluebeam, or do you think it was a real apparitional being?
No, I feel that it was more holographic, definitely. I feel that they thought it was real at that moment, considering their time, you know, their abilities at the time, but I really feel it was more of a projection, but it was a little bit more physical than just holographic.
Okay. Next question. Mm-hmm. Do you think, was technology the downfall of the lost continent Mu?
Oh, definitely. Especially with the crystals. I think what happened was that they got so out of hand and they got more into manifesting the material plane and a little bit more into greed. And I think that's what happened. I think they lost control of crystals and lasers, because we've always had crystals.
Wow.
We even had in the watches.
Now, you think artificial intelligence was involved?
No, I think artificial intelligence was involved to try to help. I don't feel that it was negative as much. I do feel that sometimes they help us grow too quickly.
Yeah. Okay,
but
next
question. But I think a lot of it was really just greed, and I feel that a lot of times when you have situations like that, like Mu and Atlantis, I think we come back as groups in group consciousness sometimes to finish working it out.
Yes, that's what I was trying to tell you the other day. Yes, that's so true.
Yeah.
And I think that we've also came to Egypt, and now we're back again to try to prevent it from happening again. Okay, next question. Do you think Lord Shiva was part AI, artificial intelligence?
No, I really don't. I feel that sometimes, you know, we develop at different rates, and I do feel that there are people that come into this planet to help, because, you know, I do believe in reincarnation, by the way. So I feel that you choose your basic path before you come in. How you work on your basic path, I feel, is free will. But I do feel that they came in as teachers.
Wow. Okay, do you think the Ark of the Covenant is in Ethiopia?
Actually, yes.
Wow. Okay, do you feel Akhenaten is an alien or alien hybrid, or was an alien hybrid?
I feel definitely an alien.
Do you feel he's buried in Egypt somewhere?
I feel that he's still coming to us and channeling through some people. I do feel we can definitely get in touch with him if we focus on psychically, intuitively, really focus on communicating with him. I do feel that we're able to. I feel he's still present in that sense. I don't feel the connection is gone.
Wow. Okay, do you think the Giza Plateau is an ancient power plant?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Do you think Bigfoot is an experimental, you know, entity that is basically coming here as a collector of materials, traveling in between interdimensional portals, and basically doing a foot soldier, some kind of being, you know, doing a mission for other people?
Yes. And I feel that they're not highly intelligent. It kind of reminds me of worker bees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel that they were created artificially,
yes,
originally. I feel that they were created by otherworldly beings in other realms to work on this planet to help them gain, you know, physical situations, because, you know, they were the ones where they can lift heavier things. And again, it kind of makes me feel like drones. Or, like I said, when you think of bees, I don't feel that they don't have any intelligence. I feel that they're limited. And I feel that when they left for other realms, they left them behind.
Wow. Yeah, that's almost – yeah, I almost agree with you totally on that. Do you think Edgar Cayce was a brilliant prophet or a madman?
I think he was a brilliant prophet.
Do you feel – even if you don't know what the Urantia book is, do your psychic sense tell you that he helped channel the Urantia book?
Oh, yes. I feel that's part of it, but I really feel with Edgar Cayce, I feel he just went direct to the source. And that's why I feel that he was one of the prophets, for lack of a better word. I really feel he did prophecy, not just psychic readings. And
yeah.
I know they called him the sleeping prophet. But I know that he mentioned a lot of situations as an example for healing. And with religion, he was talking about things he totally didn't believe in as a person. But, you know, when we're doing readings and we're getting psychic information, we get our opinions and ourselves out of the way to let the information come in. And I feel that he had a very direct contact.
Wow. And you know what? He talked about like the fifth Ru race, where like these star child beings would come onto the planet and help us out and usher us into a new world. Do you feel Putin is connected to the 100th monkey?
Actually, yes. I don't feel it on a very heavy level. I don't know how else to phrase that, but I do feel there's a connection.
Okay, wow. Okay, was Jack Parsons, did he blow himself up or was he murdered?
I think it was, I don't feel he was murdered. I just don't feel that. I know public opinion might be different, but I just don't feel that.
Do you feel Jimi Hendrix was a starseed? And was he, his death, along with Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison and even Kurt Cobain and maybe even the blues player Robert Johnson, was his death orchestrated somehow, and they all died at 27? They were taken back to their starseed origins?
I feel that there was something definitely orchestrated. I don't really get the feeling about the starseed part. You know, and that just could be that I'm not picking it up like that.
You think they were mind-controlled? You think they were some mind-controlled?
I feel more that they were manipulated.
Yes, yes. That's what I feel.
I also feel that they were very, very sensitive. And
wow, that was a trick question. Oh, my God. I wanted to see what – wow, you're good. You are amazing.
But I feel that they were tapping in very heavily on like a direct line, for lack of a better term. But I do feel they were manipulated.
Wow, you're amazing. Because I feel that Kurt Cobain was mind controlled, and I wanted to see if I threw that starseed at you, if you would go with the starseed thing. But no, you wow, you are so good. Okay, so okay, let's. This is amazing. I want to keep going. Okay, do you think time travelers are coming from our future to help manipulate our timeline?
Yes. I really feel that up to a point, by the way. I feel that only up to a point, because you can't disrupt it too much, because then it's going to create waves in time that you can't fix. Okay. So I think it's limited how much it can be done, but I do feel like that. I do feel that they're trying to help, but I think it's very limited.
Okay. Do you think all warm-blooded mammals have souls?
Actually, no. I really don't. I think that they have different levels, different spirits, for lack of a better word. Okay. I do feel different cultures, obviously, I feel do, but I don't feel all of them do. You know, I don't feel all mammals. I do feel, as an example, if I'm thinking of, say, a dolphin or a whale, I have more intuitive sense about them than, say, something else. Because I find, like, I read pets sometimes. And at some point, I had a really strange experience with an animal. And ever since then, I've been reading pets besides people and situations and business. It's just funny how it works.
Yeah, and plants too. Like I at a young age, I evoked the plant spirit and didn't even realize it. And I got scared and ran inside my house. But my aunt taught me later on what I had done, and it's amazing. So let's move on. What do you think?
I was just going to say, that's like when you're working with elemental spirits, like when you're working with fire, you can actually call in the king of fire, which is the salamander king. So you can always call in spirits, and when you're looking at
plants, they have names. They have names, like the walnut tree is Wilhanian. Wilhanian, the walnut tree, yeah.
And it's funny, because sometimes people will see like little tiny round lights around plants, and they think they are spirits. So it's the light, and it's the spirit that builds the energy of the plant. And then you have different little spirits that break it down. To go back to
amazing. What do you think the Sphinx in Egypt originally looked like?
I think, first of all, when you said that, what I keep seeing is something very, very, very colorful, which I wouldn't logically think, by the way.
But they say it might have been red, you know, according and linked to Mars, and maybe somehow.
I do feel it's connected to planets. I'm not really feeling which one. I don't want something if I don't feel it. But I just keep seeing it being very, very colorful, which is not the way I've ever seen it.
Do you feel beings from Orion, like an Orion group, poses as gods to enslave a race, and they were the ones who gave Moses the Ten Commandments to like establish an elite class to serve and worship with a set of rules to live by?
I feel that they definitely had influence, and it comes from a feeling of wanting power and control. I feel that they were trying to influence anybody in charge, just on the level that whoever is in charge, you know, directs the way that society moves at the time.
Yeah. Okay. You feel there's a galactic council watching over us, maybe residing in the eighth dimension of Saturn that we see as the rings around the planet?
I definitely feel that there's a group like that. I don't necessarily feel where they're located, because sometimes when I see groups like that, I don't really always see them attached to a physical, you know, realm. But I do feel that they're there, and I do feel that they try to work things so that not necessarily helping us to do better or making it worse, but I think a lot of times they're trying to make sure that nobody or no culture, you know, in the other realms has too much influence over what direction we go in, because that messes with our free will.
Wow. Does your psychic sense tell you that there's anything any massive objects that's accumulating in the Kuiper Belt that's maybe planning on coming into our realm or our atmosphere anytime soon?
Not anytime soon, no. I just don't feel that.
Do you feel anything from the Kuiper Belt looking down on us almost in a way, astral projecting into us?
Not at this time. I do feel that that might come up down the road. I don't feel that at this time. I do feel that we have different beings that are closer to our realm, okay, that are trying to wreak havoc more than anything at a distance.
Okay. Have you ever heard of the Blue Avians?
No.
They're these bird-like beings that this guy Corey Good talks about.
Okay, I know what you mean. I didn't remember the name.
Yeah. Do you feel that's legit, or what's your psychic sense say about that?
I feel it's exaggerated, but it's legit, but exaggerated.
Do you believe we are headed for an ice age or a global warming? Do you think the global warming is a myth or it's an ice age coming?
Well, I don't think that it's a myth. You know, I would think the ice age, I just feel the ice age stronger. I don't think it's that close, but I feel that stronger than anything else.
Me as well.
And I really feel, you know, a lot of times I talk to people and they're like, oh, we're creating this. I don't really believe it on that level because the planet can kind of take care of itself. I tend to look at it from a shamanic point of view that the planet has its own energy, its own level of consciousness.
They can shake us off like fleas.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
And that picture in my mind, I'm like, no, the planet can go, oh, no, we're not doing this.
Yep. Exactly.
You know, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to recycle, but it does mean that I'm fanatical.
Yeah. Do you think the old blues player Robert Johnson, do you think he made a deal with the devil or the voodoo god Legba for a talent, or you think that's a bull story?
No, I feel that I actually feel that he made a deal with the spiritual realm. I don't feel the devil. I don't feel anything on that level. I feel it's more that he made a deal with a negative entity.
Yeah, like Legba. They call him Legba in voodoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To help, you know, to help to enhance the abilities. You know, I feel the abilities were there. It was more of an enhancement. But I feel it more as a negative spirit. I don't feel it on an extreme level, like, you know, a demon or a devil. I don't feel that level of it.
Wow, that was amazing. That was so amazing. That was, you're an amazing person. I love that. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
Now, let's we only have like 3 minutes left. So we should tell people more about your website and more about what you do on a daily basis and let them, you know, you want to tell them what you've been working on lately?
Well, actually, I have a new book coming out soon, and all the books I have really, like I said, are basically teaching. They're how-to books. They're not about my life. They're how everybody can do things for themselves. But I have a book coming out that's a little bit different, and it's going to be called The Book of Common Prayer. And the reason is because I do psychic readings full-time, and I teach spiritual, psychic, and paranormal subjects. However, I'm also an interfaith minister besides being a shaman. They do go together. And the Book of Common Prayer basically tells you exactly what to do to perform ceremonies. It doesn't matter if it's a wedding, a hand fasting. It's not for one particular religion, okay? Yeah. But it basically tells people how they can do that. And also because I look at it as before we had the legal papers of people being ministers, we always had shaman.
You're right.
You don't need the certification. I mean, I have it, but you don't need it. Either you have those abilities and the tendencies or you don't.
Yeah, and you're chosen.
I do lecture on the spiritual, psychic, paranormal, UFOs internationally. So, like I said, I travel. And I do, basically, I just tell people now, put my name into Google. Because it's always funny because I'll be talking to somebody, I hang up, and I think of five more things that I do.
I get a strong, like maybe in a past life too, you were some kind of temple dancer. Some kind of.
What could be? Something I love like it.
Yeah.
It's all that energy out.
Yeah. You just got to be that night woman. Yep. Stomp
right,
your feet.
There you go.
Yep. And you, everybody, we're listening to the Mystical Spiral Radio. And tonight was a great episode. And we're with the wonderful Maria DeAndrea at mariadeandrea.com. That's MariaDeAndrea.com. And you can find me at themysticalspiral.com. Be safe out there. Enjoy the beautiful moon. It's in Cancer. It's going to be Leo tomorrow. And you can find my new YouTube discussion. It's called Exploring the Ka with Ra. Spiral out.